They're known as some of the original recyclers. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association is a sponsor of the Business News Hour. With members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, delivering ag parts to farmers and ranchers. NTPDA.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business. Grateful that you're listening to us from wherever you happen to be on this planet Earth. My guest is Paul Kelly. He is the president of MaxiForce, which is a company that's been in business for nearly 30 years in the agricultural and construction trades. And he is the son of Santiago Morales, who was the founder of MaxiForce. And we're going to have an interesting conversation about not only his business, but also, hang on, kids, because we're going to weave a story about the CIA, the Bay of Pigs invasion, and your father, Santiago. Welcome, Paul.
Michael, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. First, I'd like to thank you, Michael, for what you do for our industry, what you do for the NTPDA, and what you do for the IDA, and this ecosystem and the aftermarket as a whole. So thank you for what you do. A lot of people don't know how important it is.
Well,
it,
this is a labor of love, because this is what keeps the wheels of the economy turning. These are things that people don't really think about when they're driving on a road, or they see a tractor in a field or whatever it happens to be. They may not understand how many moving parts there are to be able to make that happen. And I'm just pleased to be able to be a part of that. Thank you.
Well, you are.
So tell us a story, because I knew your father very well. Sadly, he passed of cancer last year.
Yes, sir.
And it was a blow to many of us who knew Santiago, because he was such a warm, loving human being. And I mean that sincerely.
Thank you.
But he had a story beyond MaxiForce that I think people will be stunned to hear about.
Yeah, it's a very unique story of human perseverance, love, and entrepreneurship. Really, it's the American dream in a bunch of different weird ways. I'll try to cliff note it for you.
Sure.
My father was a freshman at the University of Miami when he was approached by the CIA to help with a primitive plan at the time, which was to invade Cuba and take Cuba back from Fidel Castro. So
it would be called the Bay of Pigs invasion.
It was going to be called the Bay of Pigs invasion.
Yes.
Is what it turned out to be. It was a flawed and failed plan from almost its inception. But either way, he was an 18-year-old, actually 17 actually, when recruited, full of piss and vinegar, as he would say, and hated Fidel. And hated everything Fidel had done to his family business and many other family businesses, because he had a very successful tobacco plantation, his father, that was taken away overnight. And so he was very upset with this, what was happening in Cuba. And so he went back to recruit people to come up with this plan. And they came up with a plan with the CIA, and he had gotten 30 members at the time. He was the 31st member of what became the 2531 Brigade, which is the brigade that infiltrated Cuba at the Bay of Pigs beach. So he then went back to the U.S. and they begin to come up with the plan, the CIA. They went to a little island off of Florida where they began the first training. Well, there was only like 1,200 of them at the time. I can't remember the name of the island outside of Florida that they trained on. And then when they got to 2,500 of them, they went to where the really serious training was done in Guatemala. And then throughout this process, my father was a translator.
And this is an armed group of individuals,
Cuban,
that have been recruited to go back into Cuba to topple the junta, the regime of Castro.
Yes.
Many of us who are of age remember these things.
Yes.
And to think that your father, Santiago, was part of this, and he did this because he spoke perfect English,
yes,
as well as perfect Spanish, yes?
Yes.
All right, so let's continue this story. So they are now 2,500 individuals in training to make an invasion on the beaches of Cuba.
Yes. Throughout the time of the training, my father acted as a translator from the CIA to the group while training, while doing missions. My father participated in several missions prior to the invasion, back and forth from Cuba on those boats that opened up in the
front. Sure, like LSTs
The ones that went to Normandy. And when he crossed multiple times before the invasion, leaving arms and whatnot on the beaches and preparing for that. And then ultimately when the invasion occurred, my father was already infiltrated in Havana. He actually, unfortunately, had to go to the fight, which, looking back, he probably just should have left. But that wasn't my dad. And he went to the fight in the Bay of Pigs and, of course, ultimately got captured in 3 days and was captured and was not assassinated because he was under the age of 20. There's a whole other story about my dad's birthday. His mother falsified his birth date when captured to make him younger. Because they wouldn't assassinate people under 20. Michael, you know my dad had cancer. The first day of chemo, we all went to the chemotherapy. And typical dad joke, which nobody gets, the lady said, "Sir, if you get nervous, or we have psychological assistance if need be." And he said, "What's your name? You know, Betty." Firing squads made me nervous.
Right, right.
This does not make me nervous.
Yeah, right. And so, but your father, Santiago Morales, was imprisoned for how long?
18 years.
18 years.
Yes, sir. Yeah, he was a big problem for them. He orchestrated many hunger strikes. He escaped three times. The third time successfully made it to Havana, was escaped for almost 4 months. So he was really quite a thorn. And so they kept him there as long as they could. He was released with the last six, called the Forgotten Ones, Los Olvidados, in 79 due to Jimmy Carter's food for prisoner swap,
right?
That he did with the last six. That's how he was released.
Amazing. And then we fast forward, not really fast forward, but then he comes from that environment and starts a company called MaxiForce.
He actually started a company in 79 called Fast Enterprises First, which he dealt with a lot of people in the room in this building selling OE Caterpillar parts to Latin America. And then a gray market Caterpillar parts. That's how it started.
Sure.
Caterpillar cut that off in 82. He then began to buy from a company called Costex and Karoti Collier and a bunch of other companies in the aftermarket, selling aftermarket parts to Latin America. As the need for a translator, and my father spoke French, Italian, English, and Spanish, as the fax and the email started and websites, the need for a go-between in Miami was really dying down, and he needed a brand. And that's why 30 years ago, he started MaxiForce as his own brand of parts, and it started with John Deere, our John Deere aftermarket brand.
And now you are in so many different worlds.
So right now, MaxiForce sells for John Deere, Perkins, Cat, Cummins, Kubota, Yanmar, Mitsubishi. We're a complete internal engine overhaul kit focused engine solution. We have four locations in the United States, Los Angeles, two in Miami, and Anderson, Indiana, as our hub in the U.S. We sell in 90 countries in the world. Last year, we sold in 92 last year. So we really are a small company, but with a global reach.
Paul Kelly, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. He is the president of MaxiForce, based in Miami, with locations all across the country. As you have, you've grown up in this business, Paul.
Yes. Yes, sir. So half of my adult life I've been in this business. I do not count the unpaid child labor years where I was building cylinder kits in the mid-90s, after school and in high school and in college summer breaks and all that. I never got paid for that. But full-time I've been almost 20 years in the business, and child labor years another two or three. So, yeah, my adult life has been in this industry.
And as you look at this industry, what changes have you seen in recent memory, and where do you think we're going into the future?
You know, the most significant change that I've seen over the last, especially last 5 years, is common rail engines. Common rail engines has really changed in our space, right? So I'm in the engine space. I don't do undercarriage. I don't do turbo. I don't do remanning of products. We're in the overhaul kit engine part business. And the most significant change I've seen that's really going to impact our industry is the common rail engine, the emission-controlled engines. It is really changing so fast every year as the OEs have tried to catch up to what they've needed to do on the emission standards, and they've made a lot of mistakes. Because they're chasing this Euro 6, 7, yes. Stage 4 final. Here's Tier 4 final here. It's really changed the industry. It's changed the mechanics and the engine rebuilders. It's had to make them computerized, which is difficult. It's impacted the right to repair issue, which yesterday was addressed very well.
Very well.
But it's not over. The right to repair issue is something that is so important because they always want to control these engines. And they don't want the independent repair shop to be able to repair them. And it's not fair to the repair shop. It's not right as the owner of the engine. It's not right to the industry to say you have to go and buy OE because you can't turn that thing on without our control.
And so as we heard yesterday, it's illegal.
Exactly.
I mean,
but that's common rail. Common rail created the right to repair issue.
Oh. So when we talk about all of these things with internal combustion engines and things,
sir.
There's a huge move, as you know, to go electric. How will that impact your business, do you think?
I honestly don't see it impacting the off-road equipment because we are MaxiForce. As MaxiForce is 100% off-road for the most part. We're 95% off-road. But if you look at everybody in this room today, they're probably 80% off-road, right? There is a lot of on-road truck if you talk about IPD or McBee. But the majority of us are off-road. I think the electrification of our industry will be last.
Well, it's very difficult to have enough power to be able to move some of these pieces of equipment.
Yeah, and I was in Iowa last week, and you're talking about a $500,000 combine in a field that's the size of a small town. They can't charge that thing out in the middle of the field. Nor can, if you're building a highway in Kentucky, can you charge a dozer out in the middle of a empty asphalt field 100 miles from the next city. So I think we'll be last to happen. Will it happen? Maybe on some of the smaller equipment that we specialize in, potentially. But you have to drive power up, slow it down. Batteries aren't there yet. And the truth is there's not a need for it right now on the electrification. I think electrification on automobile will happen in a hybrid way. I potentially see it. I think fully electric is still probably, 2-3% of the automotive market now. So in our space, I don't see it affecting the industry for a long time.
Paul Kelly, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest, president of MaxiForce. You have been a long, long-term member. As a matter of fact, that's how I met your father, Santiago, years and years ago with the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, and you've been a loyal member for years and years. What does associations like that or IDA mean to a business?
It's the heartbeat of our industry, and people don't understand that sometimes, or they want to complain a little bit about the size of a show or the volume. To me, the NTPDA, the IDA, that is where we all discuss where we're at, where we're going, where what kind of clients we have, where the industry is going, where our suppliers are coming from. These associations from the NTPDA to the IDA really, to me, are the heartbeat of our industry, of the aftermarket, right? Of where the aftermarket is going. You got to come here and check it out. This is where you find out. This is where you find out where your competitors are. That's a competitor of mine. It wasn't here a year ago, right? It's a new one. So you have to see where our competitors are going, where they have an advantage on you, where you could be doing better, where you're missing it. If you want to know where your business stands in the aftermarket, go to the NTPDA, go to the IDA, see where you stand. See your customers, what customers you share, what customers you should maybe try to go after.
Right.
To me, it's the heartbeat of our little ecosystem.
One of the interesting things about these types of associations is the members are all doing business with each other, but still are competing against
100%.
Each other. How do you keep these familial relationships going when you're a competitor?
It's funny. I was with a competitor yesterday visiting and saying hello for the first time. It was a new competitor. And I said, we need to all play in the same sandbox, but we can play fairly. And by the way, we need each other. And we need each other, and we need to work with each other. I buy from Costex, they buy from me. I buy from Reliance, Reliance buys from me. We all share customers, we fight for customers. But the idea is that we make each other better. We don't fight. We compete.
But properly. You don't fight.
We don't fight, but we make each other better because we're watching each other and we're making, and we're, and the best, the most beautiful part, what my father always loved about capitalism, is if you look at your competitor, you look at them to make you better, not to see them with anger or a problem. You see them with a, as an opportunity to make your own company and yourself better.
Paul Kelly, final question for you, sir. As I've been talking to you, and we've known each other for a while.
Yes, sir.
You're very passionate about this.
Yeah.
The Cuban passion comes through.
I have a hard time stopping that, yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. What drives you?
There's a couple things. And for, I'm very fortunate to have been raised by my dad. I think what drives me is there's a little bit of legacy, right? And the idea that I still think we just got started and we're just scratching the surface. And this business is still in its infancy. And the fact that I have an opportunity when they come to purchase me, which they come a lot now, is I love what we do, but I think we're just getting started, and that drives me. It's a passion, and of course the legacy of what I, and that legacy I take seriously. It's a big responsibility, and that drives me, and I love it.
Paul Kelly, ladies and gentlemen, has been our guest. He is the president of MaxiForce. Paul, thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you, and thank you for what you do for the industry again. Thank you.
Once again, that is the voice of Paul Kelly, president of MaxiForce, based in Miami, Florida. What an exciting young man, and what a story about his father, Santiago Morales. Good stuff, and yes, we will have links to MaxiForce on the radio blog. All right, that's a wrap for today. Thanks so very much for listening. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease, and the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.